Right. It is approximately 9 o'clock in the morning on May 28th, 2008, and we will get this ad hoc meeting going. First of all, we'll check the phone lines. Commissioner Hansen is with us on the phone line. Commissioner Johnson is with me here, and my name is Commissioner Steve Kolbeck. I'll be going through the proceedings today. Meredith Moore, are you with us?
Present, Mr. Commissioner.
All right, and Kathy Ford.
I'm here, sir.
Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. You too.
First of all, we will start. We have a couple of administrative items, but first of all, I'd just start by introducing a new PUC member. Terry LeBrie Baker is with us now. She actually comes from the Department of Ag, and she has an accounting background, and she is replacing former analyst Keith Sanger. And we are very, very happy to have her with us. She has her own nameplate, as Commissioner Johnson has mentioned, and we are ready to get going. So thank you for being here, Terry.
Welcome, Terry.
All right. First up on the agenda, administrative item in the matter of consulting contract for Roger Oldkamp. The question today is, shall the commission authorize staff to enter into a consulting contract with Mr. Roger Oldkamp? First of all, we'll hear from staff.
Thank you. This is Kara Semler for staff. As the question indicates, today we're asking the commission to authorize staff to enter into a consulting contract with Mr. Roger Oldkamp. We have a variety of dockets. Staff has a variety of dockets that will require some extensive research, and it seems most efficient for those to be done out of the office, and staff can concentrate on those bigger issues that ultimately will provide a recommendation to the commission. So looking for your authorization today to enter into this contract. All items in the contract have been negotiated, and with your blessing, we're ready to go.
All right, thank you. Questions?
Presumably the rate has been negotiated?
It has, yep. An hourly rate of $50 per hour.
And does that compare favorably to probably a little bit lower than other consulting contracts we've had?
Correct.
Okay.
I just have one question. This is Commissioner Kolbeck. Mr. Oldkamp resides in South Dakota, correct?
He does. He lives in Spearfish.
Okay. And that's where he'll be our main contact with him will be from conducting back and forth with Spearfish.
Well, I think it'll be most efficient to do most of our communication via electronic means, telephone and email. And we have outlined some specific projects for him with some specific expectations, and he understands those. He will be in the office, however, I believe, for almost an entire week beginning June 2nd. So he'll come here so he can actually meet face-to-face and understand better what those expectations are. But I think with email, it's going to be easy to communicate via long distance.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Gary. I just would like to say that it's always a pleasure to see us hiring folks from South Dakota. There's a tremendous amount of expertise in South Dakota, and it's always good to see that we're keeping the state taxpayers' money in South Dakota and contracting with folks that are as qualified as this gentleman is, and I appreciate our staff doing that.
All right, thank you. Action.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission authorize staff to enter into a consulting contract with Mr. Roger Oldkamp. And again, I think this is a general authorization, and certainly if any particular items are renegotiated, I don't think it has to come before us.
All right. Discussion. Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck votes aye. Next item on the agenda is AA08-002 in the matter of consulting contract for geodecisions. Today the question is, shall the commission authorize staff to enter into consulting contract with geodecisions? First of all, we'll go to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brian Rounds for staff. The legislature gave us the responsibility of maintaining the electric utility territories, and so far these boundaries have been kept in low-resolution paper maps that are basically updated by hand with markers. And so staff would like the opportunity to contract with GeoDecisions to digitize the boundaries into a geospatial information system, or GIS. And we would also have them train the commission staff in maintaining these boundaries once they're built. So we're just asking for permission to enter into this contract.
Any questions?
This is Gary, if I may.
Yes.
This is a pretty big leap from about from one century to the next, practically, and I don't think it's wrong to emphasize what is taking place here, that this is going to provide a significant service to not only the communities that are immediately associated with these maps in the past, but it's going to make it a lot more easy for people to read them, access them, understand them. I think it's a huge step forward.
And Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Rons, is there, you alluded to electric utility territory maps. I mean, does it make sense to have, you know, this GIS system overlaid with any other utility boundaries?
Specifically,
not telephone. I mean, it's not quite the same set of territory statutes, but there are some similarities.
Yeah, staff's had discussions about adding other layers to the map. But we'd kind of like to just start out with the basics. This is one thing that's definitely required by the legislature for us to do. And so we view this as the most important thing, and we just kind of like to get our feet wet.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, another.
Absolutely.
Do we know, has GeoDecisions done business for state government before? Obviously, a lot of GIS work's been done in state government. Do they have a good reputation?
Yes. The reason we're, I guess, one of the reasons we're working with GeoDecisions is because they did a lot of work with South Dakota DOT, who has probably most of the GIS information in the state right now. So they've And I think they've also worked with an electric co-op in the state, too.
Do we know how long this project's expected to take?
I think just a couple months, 2 or 3, 4 months, something like that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I just have a couple questions. Is the contract, is that given out for us if we're not happy with certain aspects of the performance? Is that all negotiated in the contract?
The contract terms haven't really been set yet. I don't know if Kara wants to...
Yeah, this is Kara for staff. We do have a termination clause in the contract, so certainly once we get into it, we can cancel the contract with or without cause. We use all of the standard risk management language in our mm-hmm. contracts, so certainly they have to perform up to expectations.
Uh-huh. Perfect. All right. Thank you. Action. Did you want to...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Members of the Commission, my name is Dave Gerdes. I'm a lawyer from Pierre, and I'm general counsel for the South Dakota Electric Utility Companies, which is the trade association of the investor-owned utilities in South Dakota. I hadn't planned on speaking on this matter, but I, having dealt with those maps over the years and... understanding how important they are to the utilities, I have a question, if I may, just for the good of the industry, I hope, if I may direct a question to Mr. Rounds.
All right, we'll let you go.
I hope this isn't a toughie. I've seen the maps, I've worked with them, that, you know, of course, as time goes by, there are minor changes made on the maps. Is there going to be any, if I understand this correctly, this new geospatial system is going to be an electronic system, is that correct?
Correct.
And what is the backup to that system if the electrons go somewhere? I mean, is there going to be a paper backup, or is there any kind of a backup? I know, for instance, at our office... we supposedly back up all of our work every day and have it on tape and that kind of thing. I'm just curious as to what the backup would be.
I believe BIT takes care of all our backup stuff, but if you look at all our all of our dockets are electronic now. Mm-hmm. Those are all backed up in different places. I think there's a spot over at the Becker Hansen building where most of it's kept, and I think it's also backed up off-site somewhere, too.
Okay. So that would be the only question I'd have is as to the permanency of all that, but thank you.
Well, I'm certainly not an expert, but what Mr. Round just described is my understanding as well, that there's geographic diversity and there's more than one backup location. Yeah, okay. And it is backed up every night, is my understanding.
At least.
So, yeah. So if you make a change at 1 and the computer's good on at 2, you might be in trouble. But, yeah, good question. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Action? I'll move in 808-002 that the commission authorize staff to enter into a consulting contract with GeoDecisions. Discussion?
I think the only possible complaint is, why not yesterday, right? The day before that.
All right, Commissioner Johnson. Oh, I'm sorry, John Smith.
Yeah, just maybe, Brian, I'm just throwing this out. I'm assuming, the consultant will be perfectly accurate and all that, but as we know, those maps contain various conflicts, sometimes between, for example, the written description, what's on the map and all that. Is there going to be a process of, where we're going to make available for proofing and verification out to the industry, a feedback type process, before we solidify these into some kind of stone? Or is this just the mechanical process of getting the stuff on?
This is basically the mechanical process, but the idea was to start from the original filings that have the original legal descriptions and going from there.
Okay, so the legal descriptions themselves, they can just enter that and it'll automatically input the data from that.
Well, it's not that easy, but I mean,
you got to remember, I'm old, Brian.
they'll match legal descriptions to current geospatial information, and also use the maps that we've already made to kind of sync those up.
To piggyback on Mr. Smith, if I could, Mr. Chairman. It does seem to me that, it probably doesn't need to be written in a contract, but I think in staff's own sort of internal schedule, there should be an opportunity for, interested third parties to review the material and then, let's presume that we get something wrong, GeoDecisions get something wrong, and still have them on the hook as part of a contract to come in and make those necessary tweaks. I mean, I think it's a point well made.
Any other discussion? Dave?
Well, just for a point of clarification, does the contract include taking the old commission orders and actually inputting that information into a map, or is it just setting up the structure of a map for us to go in and put in the data from the orders?
No, they will actually set up all the files, all the boundaries. They'll start from the beginning and then make the changes as they go through the orders that have changed the boundaries over the years.
I can just kind of comment that that's going to be an involved process. Just happens to be I was doing some work for the REA the other day and looking at some of the original documents going back. And besides just typical legal descriptions, there are also I ran into one circumstance out with Black Hills Power and Light where there were 6 pages of what's called frozen customers with just names, account numbers, and addresses that I think were, if I interpret what I read right, those were all exceptions to the established territory boundary. And that was like hundreds of names. And eventually I think that all got straightened out by subsequent trades. But it's quite an involved piece of data out there to get entered in. There also, I think it'll be necessary to go back and go through the transcripts of the original hearings and take information from that, too, to see what was technically agreed upon. But as long as all that was maintained, I'm sure it is, we should be okay. It's quite a project.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobson.
I won't hold my breath on the 2-month estimate then. It may be a little more involved than that.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. That's not set in stone, Mr. Rounds. 2 months is an estimate, correct?
There's no,
we're not buying 2 months worth of time.
As of right now.
Okay. All right, any other discussion? Action. I think I'm... Motion's on the floor in AA08-002, discussion. Okay, hearing none, Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
And Commissioner Quebec votes aye. All right, in the next hydrocarbon pipeline, HP07-001, a motion for approval of a construction bond was filed by Keystone on April 30th, 2008, and the question today is, shall the commission grant the motion for approval of a construction bond? Moving party is Keystone, so Mr. Gerdes, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Dave Gerdes. I'm a lawyer from Pier, and I represent the Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline in this matter, along with Brett Kennecke, who is not here, but who is also of record. This particular process that we're going through to approve the bond has had some bad luck associated with it. We finally do have an agreed-upon rider, as I understand it, in talking with the general counsel, Mr. Smith. As far as language is concerned, we have a problem with the process, and that is I do not have the original signed document yet. It has not arrived. I believe it will be coming by overnight mail today, but it may be tomorrow, too. They weren't able to tell me for sure. But what I have done is I have filed within the docket the document that we are asking that the commission approve. And at this point, what we would like to ask the commission to do would be to approve the rider for form and style, and that with the understanding that once the original bond with the signatures on it is filed, excuse me, the original rider with the signatures on it is filed, then the process would be complete, and I'll ask Mr. Smith if that's what his understanding would be as well.
It would be, and I would ask the commissioners to make to have as a condition on a motion to approve that TransCanada file the original. And I don't know, Ms. Forney, do we have the original of the bond per se? The original filed bond, the one filed on the 30th?
Commissioners, this is Heather Forney for staff. I do not have the original bond here.
I think maybe we might want to check into that, too. And I think what I would ask is that when in the motion to approve, that it be approved subject to condition that both the original bond, the underlying bond, and the endorsement or rider, whatever we want to call it, both be filed as paper documents with original signatures.
And we would agree with that condition.
And one last thing maybe to note is, I think in accordance with the order, condition 31E, that really, I mean, that should be done prior to TransCanada commencing construction operations in the state.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Curtis?
No, Mr. Chairman. All right.
Anything else from staff?
No. With that, I think it's appropriate for the commission to approve the form of the document today and leave it up to the deputy executive director to then make sure that we do receive the originals of those documents promptly.
My understanding is the bond... an electronic version of the bond is now filed, at least.
It is. We have that. And I'm willing to, I mean, I believe under the rules of evidence that suffices as an original, but because it's a bond and it's a big dollar amount, I really do think in this case we should have an executed original.
Right, and I have no disagreement with that.
All right. Commissioner, questions? Commissioner Johnson.
So, Mr. Smith, you started to hit on my question, and that is, I mean, we've got really important other types of paperwork that are filed electronic, electronically. Do we really need an original to... Do we need to take action subject to the reception of an original?
I would want an original on a bond like this myself. For one thing, just dealing with a bonding company, of all the difficult entities you ever deal with, that's it. I would say, I would like to see that formality in this case myself. Do I believe that we can bring a case on that bond with what's filed now? Once we receive the endorsement, you know, the Rider One, they call it, with TransCanada's signature on there, I think the answer is yes.
Just by way of, you know, continuing education, and this is probably a case-by-case, on a case-by-case basis, but are there other types of documents that we would want or need filed in paper form?
Well, for example, another example of a type of document that I thought that we obtained an original of and wanted in the file was, for example, the Northwestern FERC settlement agreement. And again, would it be a binding contract in the absence of that? Probably. But there are certain kinds of things that are significant enough to work. To me, just for one thing, just the act of executing and delivering an original has a certain symbolism to it that, to me, in some cases, is probably worth it.
Are you talking about the agreement between Northwestern and this commission?
Yes.
The settlement? So in that instance, we were a party to the settlement.
We were.
Okay. Are there any, and again, this may be just, if something occurs to you 2 weeks from now or 2 months mm-hmm. from now, you know, let me know, but are there other things that commissioners should be looking for to always be filed in paper copy?
Well, I don't know that I can go through. I mean, ordinarily there are some types of things that we do tend to keep, I think, and of course maybe Ms. Forney can correct me, but a lot of contracts that we have, you know, at least significant contracts we have, we tend to keep those in paper form. But it's relatively few things.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, Commissioner Hanson.
Mr. Smith, or Ms. Forney, the amount of this bond is for $3 million, correct?
Yes.
And did we ascertain, and there was some discussion, I know, as we were going back and forth on this bond as to what the amount of the bond would be for next year, whether under the terms, the findings of fact, and under the terms of the conditions that were set by the permit conditions that were set by the PUC in our order, we stipulated that a $12 million bond would be required in 2009. Has there been discussion with Keystone pertaining to whether there would be a $12 million bond or whether this would be in addition to the $3 million bond? Has that question been answered?
Not probably definitively. I think at this point in time, the language, we have had a discussion. TransCanada did submit to me for review a bond that contains some language stating that it would not be cumulative with the $12 million bond, and I rejected that. Now, does that absolutely definitively answer that question? Probably not, and I don't know that we really do have to answer it. I think here's the way it'll work as of now, and then Mr. Gerdes, I see, wants to talk, but the way I see it working is this bond remains in effect until released by the commission, period. Now, it could get to be, because of the evidence in the record and some discovery that wasn't introduced into the record that elucidates a little of how this bond amount was derived, there may be at least an argument as to whether the $3 million bond is meant to cover activities in 2008 and the $12 million bond in 2009. That may be a position TransCanada may wish to assert or the bonding company in the future. The language of the bond does not explicitly address that. It doesn't limit its coverage to that. So my feeling is we go forward with the bond language as it's proposed. I think it's adequate and good. the way those numbers were originally derived is they were derived based on the percentage of miles of the total pipeline length that were expected to be completed within those construction periods. And based on the numbers you see, approximately 20% of the project was expected to be completed in 2008, and the remaining a portion of the project in 2009. Is that a fair representation, Mr. Gerdes, of what happened here?
Well, I think so. I think it's important for the commission to note that the $3 million bond will be in effect for as long as the commission wants it to be in effect, because it's in effect until the commission releases it. So in that sense, the coverage will extend beyond 2008 and into 2009. And then, of course, in 2009, there'll be a $12 million bond. So, I mean, you do have $15 million in coverage. The question would be where the $3 million coverage resides, and that typically would be with work that was done in 2008 and would not. So in that sense, it's cumulative, but it wouldn't necessarily cover work that was done in 2009. I think that's where the dichotomy exists, but it seems to me that that's fair. I mean, that relates to the work that was done in 2008 and then 2009, so... We believe that that was what was intended, at least TransCanada does. And this is to, you know, make sure that roads are repaired and infrastructure is repaired that is affected by the construction. And TransCanada has every reason to want to make sure that that's all repaired. I mean, they want to be good neighbors, so that's what I would say.
And certainly it's clear that the bond only covers in a situation where Keystone is and their partners are unable to and unwilling to pay for those costs, and you would have to go through the long line of litigation and et cetera, et cetera. It's a backstop to a backstop, basically. But I was curious whether or not that discussion had played out with Keystone from our staff, and I appreciate the answer. Thank you very much, both of you, Mr. Smith and Mr. Gerdes, for the information you provided. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think it's a fair statement that both bonds will be in effect for some overlapping period of time. That's going to be probable. I would note, too, one last thing, is that in addition to the bond condition, the order also contains explicit conditions requiring the repair of roads. That's your condition. You have the right to enforce that. You have a right to revoke the permit if it's not done. So this bond, as you characterize it, Mr. Chairman, is a stopgap of a stopgap, but it's not the only arrow in your quiver. God forbid it gets to that. I think with a $1 billion, multi-billion-dollar project, the odds that we're going to be fighting over a gravel road are not very great. But, it could happen. I mean, there's sometimes it's difficult to determine what caused something, and it's always possible. So thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Action.
I will make a motion that the commission grant the motion for approval of the construction bond.
According to the staff's recommendations?
Thank you very much, Mr. Acting Chairman. According to and subject to the conditions as recommended by staff, including and not limited to the receipt of the original bond and construction not to begin until an original is received by the PUC, and any other conditions, recommendations as received by staff at this meeting.
All right, discussion. All right, Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovac votes aye also.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Gerdes. And the last item on our agenda today is in telecommunications, and TC07-107. On May 20th, 2008, Nology filed a petition to withdraw from the docket. And the question today is, shall the commission grant the petition to withdraw? The moving party is Nology. Ms. Ford, would you like to go first?
Yes, sir. Nology has to be a part of the docket. It's my understanding that the staff has entered into an agreement to settle the show cause with reduced rates. Nology is not in agreement with the settlement and has its own complaint case pending. And so rather than hold up the staff settlement, we would like to withdraw from the show cause and just proceed with our own complaint case.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ford. Ms. Moore, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Reduced Rate has no objection to the motion of Nology to withdraw at this time.
All right. Thank you. And staff.
This is Kara Semler for staff. Staff, we do not have an objection to Nology's withdrawal, and we'll proceed to the settlement, which will come before the commission for approval at some point.
Thank you. Questions by commissioners? Hearing none, I will move in the case of TC07-107 that the commission grant the petition to withdraw. Discussion. Okay, Commissioner Hansen or Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye. Any other business before the commission? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you.